There's a suggestion this morning, and it came originally from the BBC, that the Education Authority is proposing to close and merge 7 of 10 special schools in Belfast. The plans would result in 3 larger special super schools in the city, and this would be in a couple of years' time. The move would only go ahead after a consultation process. Now, I want to speak to Jackie White, who is indeed from the Ulster Teachers Union. Jackie, good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Yes, Jackie, just this news this morning about the restructuring, really, of special schools. First of all, and the most important people of all here are the pupils. How would it impact on the pupils, and then how would it impact on staff?
Well, I think in terms of it being special schools that we're looking at, which cater admirably for a range of children, some of whom have very, very complex needs, I think that moving forward with such an amalgamation and moving forward with such a project has to be dealt with very, very carefully. Now, there is a development proposal, and at that point, all of the stakeholders, for want of a better word, involved will have a chance to be engaged in that consultation process, the unions included. And I think probably what is imperative in this case is that the Education Authority listen very, very carefully to the professionals and to their assessment of what the impact might potentially be on these particular children. Because when we move forward with amalgamations with mainstream children, there's disruption and there's maybe change to a school site and there's change of staff and there's various things. And there can be difficulties, but they can be ironed out. But I think I can't stress enough that if elements of this are moving forward, or the whole thing, because as you say, that has to go out to consultation and it may be rethought in certain ways, it must move at a pace and in a fashion which caters for the needs of the children. And I think that that's, you know, a very strong message that will go out. There is reference made to building of new schools, moving children to new schools, and also changing, for example, the makeup of the age population in the schools. Some children now, all of the schools, I think, are going to cater from 3 to 19, where some of the children in the school settings at the minute don't have as wide an age range as that. And I think it has to be done not just on the basis of saving money, as a lot of these decisions seem to be based on. This must be done in a way that shows that it's in the best interests of the children and that it's done at a pace and in a way which benefits those children.
So
and
if
in terms of the staff... Oh, sorry.
No, sorry, go ahead. Make the final point.
I was just going to say, in terms of the staffing then, there's a lot of support staff involved in special schools. And it's not only a case of numbers of staff, it's a case of children who have got used to certain members of staff over the years. And I'm talking about not just your teaching staff, I'm talking about classroom assistants and various support staff. And if you are changing location and if you are changing the makeup of the school population, you need to ensure that there's security there for the children. And staff, I think, is something that you have to look at very carefully and make sure it's not just to do with numbers and how many they can afford. It's to do with children having security, moving forward, changing so many other things in their school life, but having people around them that make them feel secure. So I think it's going to be a highly complex project moving forward. And I think that the Education Authority would need to listen very, very closely to the people on the ground who have the children's best interests at heart and do it in a way which has the least impact possible.
Well, it certainly is going out to consultation. The Education Authority plans basically would mean the closure of Fleming Fulton School, which opened back in 1957. It has more than 100 pupils aged 3 to 19. A Glenveagh Special School with almost 200 pupils with severe learning difficulties would also close. Fleming Fulton and Glenveagh would then merge in a new school building, and this would be in North Belfast, although that has not yet been decided exactly where. there. Harberton School, which caters for 268 children with moderate learning difficulties, and Oakwood School, which caters for 100 young children with severe learning difficulties, would also close and merge. The new merged school would be on the existing Harberton site in South Belfast. In the east of the city, Mitchell House and Greenwood Schools would close. They would also merge into a new school building, although it has not been built yet, nor the site revealed, a bit like the North Belfast one. And each new school would have 300 pupils or more. St Gerard's School in West Belfast would remain on its current site, although the special educational needs of the pupils it admits may actually change. As for Clarawood and Cedar Lodge schools, under the plans, they would remain unaffected. Now, all of the new schools would be expected, as you've said, to admit pupils aged 3 to 19 with a range of disabilities. And if you feel all of that is relevant to you, do involve yourself in the consultation process. So, good morning to you. 90-333-105 is our number for whatever's on your mind. What are the challenges facing teachers generally? Jackie, that's the main reason we were going to speak to you today, because the UTU annual conference was on at the weekend, and one of the topics which people probably would never think of was the menopause.
Yes. This is something that we have started to look at in union circles. And I suppose one of the things maybe bringing it to the fore at the minute is they're not recent changes, but the way the changes in teachers' pensions are playing out. We did have a motion at conference bringing the changes in pension to the attention really of the younger teachers, because it's very difficult for us to get teachers at the beginning of their career interested in what's going on. And why I'm talking about that is because the teacher's pension age is now linked to state pension age. And as we're moving into the future, we had learned that those teachers who are qualifying at the moment potentially could be working until they're 70, 72, okay? And we think we're bad where we are now, but moving into the future, that could be very, very different. Now, what we're saying is that teachers, women, just saying teachers, women have an average age of about 51 whenever they move into the menopausal phase of their lives. And we are now looking at teachers who potentially will be working for another 20 years after that in the classrooms. Now, we've gone a long way in terms of recognising issues around pregnancy, for example, and we'll take that as another female issue. And we now have schools would make adjustments for teachers who are pregnant, have more of an understanding of maternity-related issues, returning to work, those kinds of things. And that's built in, really. Now, with all sorts of issues around career progression and maternity pay and all of that, but what I'm talking about is an acknowledgement by the school that this is, it's not a health issue, it's an issue which happens, if you like, to women. And the school, as an employer, has to make some kind of adjustment in the event that there's an impact on health or mental well-being. We're saying that the same thing should be true of the menopause. And like pregnancy, women will go through it. Some of them will have more negative impacts than others. Some of them need just very simple adjustments going on in school to enable them over difficult times, because menopause can lead to sleeplessness, it can lead to difficulties at times maybe with concentration, it can lead to things like that which can be very easily supported within school, and at the more extreme end, sometimes it can lead to huge impacts on emotional and mental health. Now, the way it is at the moment, and I'm not saying that it's a malicious thing, but menopause is one of those jokey things that's really, you know, in workplaces where there's you know, you've got a woman who is maybe struggling to remember things or is tired or whatever. Oh, she's menopausal. Now, that's not acceptable, because it's a very real thing that women are going through. And what they feel at the minute, because there's a kind of a jokey culture around it, that they can't go forward to their employers and say, at this moment, I need a bit of support. And I'm not suggesting that because it's 51 to potentially 70, 72, that women in any way need support for that amount of time, just the same way as women don't need support just because they've had a baby. They don't need support forever after. But what they do need is to have that sense in a school that what they're going through is being acknowledged, what they're going through is being recognised, and in the event they need a bit of extra support, even a listening ear, somebody to go to, and that feeling that it's accepted, acknowledged and respected, if you like, I think that would go a long way towards making work and life easier for women who are going through some difficult time.
Are there any other workplaces where there's special conditions or special circumstances for menopausal women?
Well, what has happened is that the Wedge TUC have done a lot of work on this. And that then, the connections between various TUCs, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, has been privy to this work and has taken an interest in this work. So it's all very early stages, but yes, across various unions, we have, in the in public sector unions and in finance or whatever, we have unions who are starting now to look at how this would be managed. It's at early stages, but it's not just to do with the teaching unions. It's across the unions. But why we have a particular interest in it is because we have about 3/4 of our population, our teaching population, who are female. And therefore, we need to focus in on issues which would be particularly relevant to women, just to have that acknowledgement. So, but no, it's not just the teaching unions. It's across the board. We're looking at ways that we can move it forward into a workplace policy. And as I said, a lot of it is just to do with acknowledgement and the chance of support if a woman needs it. But it's not, I don't see that it's going to be a huge change for employers, apart from recognising that it's there, recognising that they have a duty of care, whatever the issue is, and menopause should be brought into that. It has moved down the line, as I said earlier, with pregnancy, with things like mental health. Employers are much more aware now that they have a duty of care to provide some support. And it's much easier with physical health issues, but mental health is coming along that line too. And what we're saying is that women in that menopausal phase can experience some of those issues, and we just need to make sure that in the event that they need some support, that there's somebody there to provide that support.
And you can imagine some people who are, you know, driving along in their car, looking up to heaven, thinking, my goodness me, what else will the unions be looking for?
But I think that's the point. I mean, we are, you look at the women out there in the workplace. You look at the population of women out there in the workplace. And really, if people are turning their eyes up to heaven, knowing that every single one of those women, without exception, will go through the menopause and will have some level of difficulty at that time, what we should be looking at is, where is the respect there? And that's what we need to start putting into place. This is not something that it's acceptable anymore that you can just sweep it to the side and just say, look, you cope with that. It's a woman's thing, and therefore you just deal with it. We really don't want to know about it in the workplace. Because what happens then is it's driven down. Women feel they can't talk about it, and therefore they can actually have more of an impact. We just need to break it open and just say, look, we are aware that this is what happens to women. It's part of a natural cycle, and if there's any way that we can support you in that, then we will do that.
Okay, Jackie, I'll throw it out there and see what people think. Thanks a million for coming on.
Indeed.
Jackie, thank you.
All right, no problem, thank you.
Jackie White, Deputy General Secretary of the Ulster Teachers Union. Should there be special circumstances for menopausal women? Do let us know, 0289 0333 105.